Bible reading comes today from Romans 8. Just three verses. Romans 8, verse 28, and then 38 and 39. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. And then verse 38 and 39. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Cool, thanks Tom. Didn't run the show this morning. He'll be back up here in a few minutes too. So, hey everyone, my name's Ryan and together we're going to wrap up Sunday morning services for 2025. Yep, it's the last Sunday of the year. And time continues to march on. And this year, let's be honest, it's been a lot like other years that have gone before. We all say they all go too quickly, but for some of us, we've had a great year, full of joy, full of celebration, and great stuff. While some of us have had really long years, really rough years, facing difficulty and trials, maybe every day, just slogging it out, struggling. It's just been a hard year. Now, every person here has had different experiences this year. Some good, some bad, some easy, some hard. Most, probably, are mixtures of both. What I want to lead us in this morning, though, is a time of helpful, gospel-centered reflection together. A time that, together, we can share your stories, your testimonies, and how God has been at work in the lives of us this year. Now, I say that we're going to do this together because that's exactly what we're going to do. Now, as a pastor, I have an incredible privilege to hear many of your stories. I've had so many conversations with so many of you, and it's so special. I get to hear them. These conversations, right, they can be incredibly sad and heartbreaking, but they can also be incredibly joyful and give great reason to celebrate. However, whether sad or joyful, all these conversations are such a privilege to hear and good to share. So as there are a bunch of stories sitting in the pews this morning, in every person here today, I thought it would be a special opportunity for those of us who wish to share their stories of 2025 to actually do it this morning. So the last few weeks, I've tapped a few people on the shoulder and asked if they'd be willing to share a story of God at work in their lives this year. Just like life, these stories don't all have to be joyous and wonderful. They can be, and they can be messy. They can be hard. And maybe these stories can be something they tell that these people are still in the middle of. We're not after like super well-polished presentations here, but raw, real, authentic testimonies of God at work in his people. I think as we hear these stories today, we will all be blessed. For those sharing, while it may be incredibly scary and difficult, and putting yourself into this place of vulnerability, it can be really healing and a really positive time for those as they share. And then for those of us who listen, what a privilege it is. We get to hear from people that we love as they share deeply and openly with us. And then for those of us who have stories, which I would argue is everyone, but aren't sharing publicly today, be encouraged that you are not alone in whatever it is you are facing. We all have stories to tell, be it good, bad, celebration, or suffering. Now, I'm really looking forward to hearing from a bunch of you in just a few minutes. But before we do, I'd like to pause here and commit what we're about to do to God in prayer. So let's pray. God, thanks for this year. You know all our stories, all the ups and all the downs, all the beauty and all the ugliness. As we create space this morning to reflect and share on the year that we have had, a year gifted from you to us, may we see you as central in it all. While we have stories and experiences, some good, some bad, you are at work in it all. We often don't see it in the moment, but as we stop and reflect today, may we see you at work in each and every story told. And if we aren't telling a story today, may we be encouraged and reminded of the fact that you are indeed at work in all of our stories. Through it all, you are at work for our good and your glory. We often don't feel it, we often don't see it, but may today be a reminder to all of us that you are indeed good, and that you are at work in all of our lives to bring about our good and your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. So, we're going to hear some of these stories now. But before we do, though, I'd like us to all be listening to these testimonies with the first part of the Bible reading that Tom gave us in mind. It should be on the screen behind us. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. So I'm going to invite our lucky first contender, Andrew Cowan, who's going to come up and share a story with us. Thanks, Andrew. Over to you.
How are you going, everyone? this is just something it's more of a teachable moment. It's not a personal story about me, but it touched me. So it's just from an episode of John Dixon's podcast on Undeceptions. And this was about talking to an author who wrote a book about learning and being teachable. And I was just wandering around the backyard listening to this, and it was interesting, but it was coming one ear and out the other. But then he finished with a personal story, which touched me. So the author talks about how growing up he didn't have a father in his life, and he didn't learn to be practical. And so a few years ago, his wife and he decided to build a cubby house for their child, their son. And she had the vision for it, so she said, "Can you just go to the shed and get a Phillips head screwdriver?" And so he went off and he was looking and he started weeping. And he thought, "What's going on?" And then he realised he was feeling ashamed. that he didn't know what it was. He'd have to go and tell his wife, and he felt shame for not being the person that he felt he should be. And obviously that touched me. he makes the point that there are all different areas in our lives that we're not the people that we think we should be. So he tells this story to his Bible college students when they first come at the start of the year, that often as Christians they have an expectation of who they should be, and then they realise they don't know the Bible as well as they think they should, and they can feel shame about that. And I guess, you know, we all have roles as husbands and wives and parents and teachers, and we can feel shame and not meeting our expectations or the expectations that other people put on us. so his point of it was that it's part of learning, part of being teachable, that we need to confront this shame of not being the people that we think we should be, and acknowledge that, and let the grace of God meet us in the middle of that shame, because it's true. None of us are the people that we should be. But that is exactly the kind of person that Jesus Christ loves to work with. So obviously it's impacted me and something I'm working through. So.
Appreciate your vulnerability there. It's not easy to do. I guess what comes to my mind after hearing that is I can easily look at all of you and think, you've got, you know, you're good with life. You've got it all figured out. But we're all on journeys, aren't we, Andrew? Every single one of us. And we're all learning different things. And I think today, a big part of what we're doing is to be open and sharing with one another all of our different journeys and what we've all been learning throughout this year and how God's been at work at us. So thanks, Andrew, for sharing. Ruth, can I hand to you now? So we've got Ruth, who's going to share her reflections on the year that's been and what God's done in her life. Thanks, Ruth.
Memory loss is embarrassing, frustrating, and hard on the pride. I can't remember is something I'm saying way, way too often, and some of you have heard me say this a few times too. But it's in spite of what the doctor said, that there's nothing wrong with my memory, it is still getting worse and worse and worse and worse. So the last Sunday when I was on the prayers, I couldn't find the place that I wanted to read in the book, so I didn't read it, and I couldn't remember Andy's name. So it's a struggle for me to accept the fact that I can't think as well as I could. I can't remember where I put things. I can't remember this and this and this and this. And it sounds like, I mean, if you're younger, you won't understand this at all. But when you get to be my age, it's like, yeah, I wish I could remember more. I wish I could think of this. I guess the saddest thing for me in this is that I'm having to give up the Bible study to lead it, which I've been doing for about 50 or 60 years. And Grace is taking it over, and she will do a marvelous job, and that's wonderful, and I'm grateful. But it's still sad. It's a grief to me to do that. Also, I worry, I guess, a little bit, because my mother, who died when she was 98, had dementia for the last 6 years of her life. And you think, I don't want to be like that. And I don't want to put that on family or someone else, but God is in control of it. And I was really thinking about this, and then I found in Psalm 139, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, I know that. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. And if God is in control, then I have to be able to trust him.
Thanks so much, Ruth. That's cool. Often I've associated Psalm 139 with like babies and kids, but the same is true even when you're, what, 21, Ruth? 22? Yeah. Like, that same verse is so powerful all throughout our life, right? It's not just for babies or teenagers doing... I'm not going to go there. This is my birds and bees Bible text at school, so... Anyway, so thanks, Ruth. I really appreciate that. That's special. God is good, and he's got you, just like he's got every one of us. Another person who I'd like to hear from, or we'd like to hear from, I hope, is our congregational prayer person and our Bible reader, and that's Ton. So wander back up here again, Ton. He's going to do me out of a job. Thanks, mate.
Does annoy me when you see him jumping up here on the stage, and I've got to walk up here real slowly and hang on to the railing. And about 2-3 months ago, I received the news that my prostate cancer had come back, and I had to go to Launceston for 34 treatments. And I was fortunate enough to belong to this church. I'm so grateful to have such a church family that not only prayed for me to lift me up, but also offered to drive me there and back. Now, you don't go to Launceston there and back and look at the gravel road, or the bitumen road, sorry. you talk with one another. And I suggest if you really want to know someone, try going to Launceston back for 34 trips. And you get to know people. You get to understand them. And so I've really enjoyed that experience, and I hope that somehow or other they have as well. They know who they are. I receive that many requests for drivers. I had to turn quite a few people down because my wife wanted to come with me as well. And to top it off, I had my son here for a week, which was really something special for me. I'm not suggesting you get cancer just so your son can come down from Brisbane, but I really did enjoy his caring. I did feel that during that time, I found that my family, my close family, my own family, was a lot closer than what it had been for quite a while. I appreciated my own brothers and sisters who all prayed for me. For me, that was something special. And in the end, I can say with confidence that during those 34 trips, I never once concerned myself with where I was going to be in at the end of my journey. I like the idea of everyone saying that we're on a journey, we're all walking different paths, but we're all on a journey towards God. And I really felt that I was on that journey and God was walking there beside me. Still not finished. Early next month I have to have my bloods done and then they'll tell me whether it was successful or not. But I still have confidence that in the Bible reading that I read, it was most ironic that nothing can separate us from God's love. I continue my journey.
Yeah, thanks, Tom. In all things, even a cancer diagnosis. Pretty good. All right, we've got one more person who is going to share with us today. A well-loved member of this church. And I'd like to hand over to David Graham. Thanks, mate.
A few weeks ago, Grace was service leader. And at the end of the service, she invited us to remain for a coffee, a chat, and a cuddle. And I know which one I'll be in need of today. My input to today's service reflects upon love, hope, and gratitude. Most of you are aware that this year has not been good for me, and I take as my text the first lines of Psalm 130. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. In July, Kate, my cherished wife of 60 years, and with whom I've travelled the world, suffered a double stroke with clots in both hemispheres of her brain. These have affected her coordination, balance, mobility, speech, and independence. She now sits in an aged care facility where many loving and caring people minister to her, adding their encouragement and support. In her current state, she cannot come home, as I am unable to care for her. Kate is determined to walk and now defiantly wears a T-shirt upon which is imprinted in large letters, "I can and I will. Watch me." Together with staff and visitors, many of whom are from this congregation, I am amazed at Kate's resilience and determination. My final prayer each night is, "Lord, help her to walk." I admit that I am lonely, but I am not alone. I repeat, I am lonely, but I am not alone. Here at Pathway, I have numerous friends who have shown genuine care for me with much appreciated practical support, emotional support, and spiritual support. I was so pleased that I was able to introduce Kate to many of you when Bethlehem came to East Devonport a couple of weeks ago. It was her first day out since mid-July, albeit in a wheelchair, and she was so delighted to meet you all. Each night, I consider the good things that have happened during that day and give thanks to God. Now, as this year draws to an end, I face high-risk surgery, and I weep often, not for me, but because I will not be able to care for my wife as I would wish. Yes, grown men do cry. My faith is growing stronger, and I feel closer to God. It is to him and to you, the people of God, that I am thankful. Finally, a poem for you, my friends at Pathway. It takes more than caring to be a real friend. The nature of friendship requires a blend of warmest compassion and love deep and true, to reach and to comfort the way that you do. Because I can see that your kind of friendship is priceless to me. Thank you.
Well, thanks, David, and for others who shared this morning. It's quite special to hear. As we go on from here, I guess in all of what we've heard just now from these people, these men and women, is we can see God at work for our good and his glory. Yes, some of what we heard has been heart-wrenching and difficult. But in it all, we can see a God who has not abandoned his people. Sure, life can be hard, and for a long time even, but God has never left any of his kids alone. In all things, God works for the good of those who love him. Reflect on that for yourself. Think of your own stories and experiences from 2025 or even earlier. God is at work in your life too. Through it all. Again, good, bad, ugly, God is at work. You might not see it right now. You might not feel it right now. But looking back and hearing these stories we've just heard, we can see it. We can know it. So believe that is the case for you right now, in whatever story you find yourself in the middle of. in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. So having heard real-life stories from real-life people in 2025, we can see God at work in the good, the bad, the ugly. And we're reminded of, and through that, we're reminded of a few things. Firstly, God is in control, no matter what it might feel like. Secondly, we can see and be encouraged to believe that God really is at work in all of our lives for our good and for his glory. And then thirdly, we can be reminded of and encouraged of God's love for his children. Which leads us to the next little portion of Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present or the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That is the case for each and every one of God's children. Nothing can, nothing will separate us from the love of God in Jesus. No matter your situation, no matter what comes your way, be it good, bad, easy, difficult, sorrow, or celebration, be reminded of two things. First, God is working for our good and his glory. We saw it in the testimony shared, and we can see it in your life too if you look and reflect. And second, nothing can and nothing will ever separate you, the child of God, from his love in Jesus. Whether it's death or life, that means any circumstances you're facing right now or even in the middle of. I'm just going to stop there. You're facing right now. Angels or demons, or those spiritual rulers and powers, that means no good or evil force out there can touch it. The present or the future, that means no matter what trials you're in today or what unknown tomorrow brings. Any kind of powers, that means no authority, whether supernatural or earthly, has the final say. Height or depth, that means those cosmic distances or extremes that feel overwhelming. And just to cover any ambiguity, Paul then throws in anything else in all of creation. And that means anything and everything else that could ever possibly separate us, God's children, from his love in Jesus. In other words, Paul's kind of like, I've thought of every possible threat, and guess what? None of them can break God's love for you. And that love that's tied right to Jesus. Because it's the love we experience through being in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's not some vague or general thing. It's personal. It's secure. It's unbreakable because of what Jesus did for us on the cross and in the grave. So looking back on 2025, in the stories that we've heard here today, and in your own story, we can hold on to this. God's love wins every time. And then looking ahead into 2026, we can hold on to this. God's love wins every time. We all have stories of God at work in our lives for our good and for his glory. The ones we've heard today, they've encouraged me. I trust they've encouraged you too. And for those who shared, while it was a bit tough to get it out there, I'm sure, and nervous and vulnerable, I bet that right now you're pleased you did. You and I can share stories of God at work in our lives too. After the service today, be bold and tell yours. What has God done for you in 2025? How have you seen him at work in your life? Where do you feel that he's been absent? Ask these questions of yourself, or ask these questions of the person you're having a cuppa with. we all have an opportunity to encourage one another with our stories of God at work in 2025. You'll actually see some posters up in the foyer scattered about to help spark up the conversation. Feel free to use them. Bless one another with good gospel reflections on 2025. And as we have 2026 just around the corner, we can expectantly wait for God to keep doing what he has done with us this year. We can absolutely have certainty of his love for his kids. So to close, I'm going to read those bits from Romans 8 again. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is truth. This is assurance. May we launch into 2026 with this in the front of our minds. Let's pray. God, whatever 2025 has looked like for us, you've been at work in it for our good and your glory. And whatever 2026 looks like for us, we know that nothing can separate us from your love. We might really believe that here and now. We might find ourselves super encouraged to launch into the new year knowing we're loved and that you're at work, and that's great. But life gets hard. Life is hard. And for some of us right now, life is tough, and it's hard to see how what we face is for our good and your glory. It can be super hard to see you at work and super hard to believe that you love us at times. Help us all be reminded that you do indeed love us. The fact that life gets hard or is hard doesn't change your love for us. Your love for us demonstrated in an incredible way. Jesus came to earth to be with us, to take our place, to take our sin, to take our judgment that should have been ours. He took it and wore it on the cross and then defeated death and sin in the grave. We can never be separated from you because of what you have done, Jesus. May we hold on to this through thick and thin. May we hold on to this, come what may, in 2026. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, music team.